Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
These Warriors, were they to play them in the playoffs? Because 2-7, 1-8, it's looking like the Lakers are going to barely make the playoffs. And then another thing is, did he really re-aggravate the injury? I think that this is... I personally think this could be the beginning of the end for the guy.
Yeah, I don't know if he re-aggravated the groin at all. I heard no reports about it.
No rumblings over at Oracle.
I didn't go to the game last night. Once LeBron James basically announced that he was out, I said, well, why am I going to Oracle Arena? No LeBron, no Bonte. No, that's a little selfish act, but I'm seriously.
No LeBron, seriously, no Bonte. Save that bite.
Seriously, that had vibes of a preseason game up until the boogeyman did something over Kyle Kuzma. We'll play that sound in just a second. But I don't think he's hurt. I think he's holding back because, one, the Luke Walton scenario.
We'll get to Luke Walton and what's going on in that locker room.
It is a mess right now. Arash Markazi for the LA Times, formerly of ESPN. He's tapped in with everything happening in LA. He's actually in Atlanta right now getting ready for Super Bowl 53. But he's tapped in with the LA Lakers and what goes on in that locker room. And we heard a report late last night from Sham Sharania that it was heated in the locker room. Tyson Chandler, Michael Beasley had to be separated from Luke Walton. He was talking about selfish basketball. We need to be unselfish. And apparently two veterans didn't like it. That locker room is a mess. And it's all because of LeBron James and the aura that he brings, the power that he brings. He knows he's the man, right? So we know you're the man. You could be a leader in certain ways. The way LeBron leads is, don't talk to me, do what I say. And that's that. I hear reports that at practice, Luke Walton is giving out plays and instructions and going over certain things. And LeBron James will just interrupt him and go on about his own thing. Hey, nah, we should do this. We should do that. We should do this. Completely undermining Luke Walton. I mean, you look at Steph Curry and the way he leads. We saw an example Thursday night. DeMarcus Cousins' home debut, Butcher Boy. And what happens? Curry says, I want DeMarcus Cousins to be introduced last. It doesn't matter to me. Little things like that doesn't matter to me. Steph Curry is a leader. A lot of players I talk to, yeah, Steph Curry can lead. He's the best leader we've seen in the last, 10, 15 years possibly in the NBA, outside of Tim Duncan.
Yeah, I would just say that, but when it comes to leadership, humility is the main ingredient of leadership. Wouldn't
LeBron
you agree?
He has none.
Exactly.
He has none.
Well, and here's the thing that, part of why I feel like he missed last night's game, whether he's sore, whether he's legitimately re-hurt, whether he's trying to pull some gamesmanship, don't you think a big trade is brewing? I mean, all of this smoke that's happening when it comes to every single piece being dangled for Anthony Davis, that has to have an effect on the other players and how they're playing. Like, watching Ingram last night, all I kept thinking is, this guy is clawing for his life on the Lakers and his NBA existence to prove that he's still a great player, even though he's so young, he's so raw, he's got so much to work on. It's got to affect these guys, especially the younger guys.
No doubt.
That LeBron is basically saying, all of you should be gone, I need Anthony Davis. And you could say all this stuff about the actual coaching and Luke Walton and all that, but just from an individual player perspective, that's got to wear on guys.
There's no doubt. I mean, you got young guys like Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, and they're thinking they're the future of the Lakers before the season.
Yes.
And then LeBron James comes, and it's like, oh, man, we get to learn from one of the greats. We get to learn from number 23. He's going to lead us into the promised land. Mm-hmm. And it's been a complete opposite. Now you're walking in that locker room thinking, this may be my last day here. And not only from the player's perspective, but now you got Luke Walton walking on eggshells. He has his dream job as an NBA coach. Played for the Lakers, won championships with the Lakers, grew up in Southern California, of course. And all of a sudden, he's got to look over his shoulder he's got to read a report. Okay, Jason Kidd's going to take my job. One day it's Ty Lue taking my job. Maybe they're going to promote Brian Shaw, my assistant coach, to the head coaching job. It sucks for everybody except for LeBron James.
Well, and the other part of LeBron James that I just, he's a great player. No one's saying that he's not a brilliant player. LeBron, the GM, though, brought in some volatile pieces this offseason. He brought in Lance Stephenson. He brought in Rondo. He brings in JaVale McGee, and you and I had a conversation before the show about where JaVale McGee was at in his career just 6 months ago. The Warriors were going to clip him. I thought he was going to be the guy who would be waived, and maybe he'd go unclaimed and unsigned, but he gets it together. He looks really good in the playoffs. They bring him in, but he has a track record of being just aloof. So there's a lot of weird personalities. The thing with LeBron that I don't think gets enough credit, he is such a headline grabber. Think about this. He's such a headline grabber on an organization that has Rob Pelinka, that has Magic Johnson, that has Lonzo Ball and LaVar Ball, and Luke Walton, one of the greatest NBA players who's ever played, Bill Walton, who's just a character in his own right, his son, who's NBA royalty. LeBron dwarfs all of them.
All of it.
All of them. Right? And like even Brandon Ingram, this is a guy, most coveted player coming out in high school, goes to Duke, huge accolades at Duke. He's on ESPN every day. And
you could have told me that
dwarfed.
You could take him. You could have told me that you could have picked him over Ben Simmons.
Absolutely.
That's how special I thought Brandon Ingram was coming out of Duke University. So we'll get more to what's going on with the LA Lakers with Araj Markazi. We'll ask Anthony Slater about that at 9:30. But first, we got to play the game because this absolutely flipped the game last night, and it had to do with DeMarcus Cousins.
Durant to the front court. Durant off a screen. Bounce pass to Boogie. Down the lane. Dunked it over Kuzma. And a foul!
Unbelievable play by DeMarcus Cousins. One, Butcher Boy. I didn't think he was going to get to the rim. Coming up in that Achilles tendon tear. He took off from not the dotted line, but right there at that little circle there, the charge circle in the lane. And he dunks all over Kyle Kuzma, baptizes him. And then next thing you know, the Warriors outscored the Lakers 40-20 the rest of the way to blow that game open. Because before that play, Oracle was lifeless.
Yes.
The Warriors were lifeless. Steph Curry couldn't hit a shot. I mean, the LeBron James news, I think, had a trickle effect down to the Warriors locker room to where they came out and said, okay, this is our fourth preseason game against the LA Lakers.
But I didn't feel that way in the first quarter. Like, I felt like in the first quarter, the ball was moving. It was humming around. The Warriors were playing with energy. They were playing great defense. And then midway through the second quarter, you know, they kind of went through the motion. Same thing in the third quarter. It actually reminded me a lot of the Philadelphia 76er game where I'm going midway through the third, hey, what's going on here?
Right.
We don't look right. And then you had two plays, not just the Boogie dunk, which absolutely lit everyone up, but the following Iguodala dunk where he threw down super hard. And Iguodala is a guy I've been riding hard for a year and a half.
You have.
And you know what? I got to tip my hat to the guy. He's absolutely brought it. He's playing the best basketball he's played in about 2 years as far as knowing how to set the team up, facilitating on offense, playing great defense, the transition game. And more importantly, he's got spring in his steps. I haven't seen him dunk this often and this aggressive in about 3 or 4 years.
And he hit the three yesterday. 17 points, plus 23 from the field in the plus minus department, 7-9 from the floor. 3 3-pointers yesterday, and you talked about that big dunk in the third quarter over JaVale McGee after giving JaVale McGee his championship ring before the game, which was a very cool moment. Kind of prayed a prank on him, but we're going to talk more about this game, Butcher Boy. Warriors beat the Lakers for the second time this season, 115-101. But what's going on outside of the Warriors? What's going on with Kevin Durant? What's going on with Klay Thompson? A lot of noise about the offseason. Of course, we know about the big trade this week. Kristaps Porzingis gets traded to Dallas. Now the Knicks have two max slots open. What's going to happen with the L.A. Lakers? We'll talk to Anthony Slater at 9:30, Araj Markazi at 10:30, and Kerry Crowley at 11:30 right here on 95.7 The Game. It's Butcher Boy and Bonte. Come back to us.
Thompson catches behind the screen from Andre. Another three for Clay.
Well, that's a great sign. He's got three of them now.
Well, the Warriors at times had a pretty sloppy effort, but put it together late third, early fourth to take the game back to the Lakers, who were playing without LeBron James. And the Warriors get a 115-101 victory over L.A.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Tim Roy on the call for 95.7 The Game as the Warriors outlast the L.A. Lakers 115-101. You heard a highlight there with Klay Thompson, who dropped in 28 points at 23 in the first half, Butcher Boy, as the Warriors roll to their 12th victory in 13 outings. Of course, they had their 11th game winning streak snapped Thursday night against the Philadelphia 76ers. We're going to have a lot of fun here. Joe Shashky, Bonte Hill, Butcher Boy, Sunday morning, Super Bowl Sunday. But the NBA seems to have taken all the headlines this week. We'll talk about what's going on with the LA Lakers. We'll even get into the Hall of Fame announcements yesterday and how Tom Flores and George Seifert were absolutely... It was complete robbery. I mean, I get it. Gil Brandt has done a lot of things for the league. Pat Bowlen, the late owner of the Denver Broncos, but to not have Flores and George Seifert into the NFL Hall of Fame, I mean, how long do they have to wait?
Oh, we'll get into that because it really disgusts me. It makes me angry. He's a San Francisco native, went to Polytech High out there in the hate. He's a legend. And Tom Flores, obviously, is a decorated champion as well, not just for his contributions on radio, because I feel like we've kind of lessened his impact as a head coach
right. Because
of his work on radio. And that's unfair because I think we've forgotten how important, how integral he was to minority hiring and just the evolutionary step of you wouldn't have an Art Shell were it not for a Tom Flores. And I just think that he deserves his rightful place in the Hall of Fame. It really bugs me. And to see guys like Tony Dungy, who I love Tony Dungy, but he is not a better head coach than either Flores or George Seifert. And I you can dilute both of their accomplishments all you want, but I think I have a massive argument for both of them to be in the Hall of Fame.
We'll talk about that a little later. We'll talk about the award winners. Patrick Mahomes, MVP, Saquon Barkley, Rookie of the Year, and Aaron Donald, who we'll see today, number 99, Defensive Player of the Year. Well-deserved, and I think he's going to be the key to the Super Bowl here, to where he possibly can get a Super Bowl MVP. But let's stick to the Golden State Warriors. Anthony Slater will join us at 9:30 from The Athletic to talk about last night. And Kevin Durant skipping out on the media two games in a row. Guess he doesn't want to answer the New York Knicks questions. But yesterday was about the boogeyman and Klay Thompson and, of course, Steph Curry. Just a weird night all around. But let's start with DeMarcus Cousins because he gets his first double-double, 18 points, 10 rebounds, 9 defensive rebounds, and he's lumbering up and down the court, playing about 24, 25 minutes now. Just a weird night, but it was good to see the Warriors get over that rut in the third quarter after that big-time dunk by DeMarcus Cousins and put it away to Lakers, who, for some reason, didn't have LeBron James due to load management.
You know, Bonte, I look at DeMarcus Cousins, and I did not realize, I thought I knew how good he was. I did. I thought I knew, but right. I didn't realize how skilled the guy was
with
the ball in his hand.
Wow.
I mean, he sees the court like a guard. He has great little handles. Yeah, he's not blazingly quick or anything, but for how big he is, he moves really well. He does. And I know he's coming off the injury. Who knows what percentage he is healthy,
right. But
there was a couple of really cool things I saw where one time him and Draymond inbounds the ball to DeMarcus, who hustles the ball up the court as a 7-foot, 340-pound big man, and he initiates the offense. They did that multiple times, and so that allows Steph and Klay and Durant to kind of run these screens, and you're kind of catching the defense off guard in a normal walk-it-up half-court type set. It was just really interesting because you can really do so many different things with DeMarcus. He's such a great passer from the elbow extended to the top of the key. Man, he's so good. And that dunk, that power.
Flipped the game.
That strength. Have you seen anything like that in a Warrior uniform?
No. We talk about it all the time in terms of bigs on the Golden State Warriors. And it seems like in our lifetime, which, boy, we're both 36 years old, we kept saying every year, the Warriors need a center. The Warriors need a center. The Warriors need a center. The Warriors need a big. They need a big who could score. Andrew Bogut was really solid for this team.
For sure.
But he wasn't a threat to score inside the post. This guy, DeMarcus Cousins, the moment I saw him bringing up the ball up the floor on Martin Luther King Jr. night against the LA Lakers, I said, okay, this is different. This is something I've never seen before.
Was that fast break where he made the pass to KD?
Oh,
how ridiculous was that?
I mean, his bounce passes, his passing from the elbow, his basketball IQ, I think, is the one thing I underestimated. I knew he was a great player. Mm-hmm. I knew he was an all-star. But his IQ is just off the charts because, yes, he doesn't have all of his quickness, his mobility due to the injury, the Achilles tendon. But defensively, it seems like he knows where to be. Okay, he may be a second late to getting out and contesting shots, but he knows how to play defense. He picks his spots, his hands.
Yeah.
He gets into the passing lanes. How many steals does he have? We saw it last Saturday night against Kyrie Irving. His basketball IQ is just off the charts. And when you add him to a team, a starting lineup with the IQ that they already have with Stephen Curry and Kevin Durant and Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala. I mean, you look at the starting five, and it's one of the best I've ever seen.
Yeah, you know, the thing that I didn't realize was the way he's willing to pass, he's looking to pass. Yeah, he'll get his. If he's down low, he gets the ball at a certain spot, he'll leverage and go up. But he really is looking to make the right basketball play. And that's something that I think is extremely underrated. Watching the Lakers team, and it's a young Laker team, outside of a couple guys, they were so willing to, I'm going to stagnate the offense just so I can get going. Brandon Ingram specifically. I thought Kuzma took a couple of, you know, off.
Ill-advised shots.
Yeah, just off-balance shots that didn't go within the flow of the offense. Whereas DeMarcus is, I'll take two or three dribbles into the paint. Oh, and there's someone open in the corner? I'll kick it to them as opposed to taking a bad fadeaway shot that's going to hurt the rest of the momentum and flow of the offense.
I know this is boring, but look at his screen setting.
Oh, it's so good.
The guy's a brick wall. And when you got guys like Steph Curry and Klay Thompson weaving around you and trying to get open, the guy is a brick wall when it comes to setting screens. And I still think the referees are looking at DeMarcus Cousins and giving him those reputation fouls.
Absolutely. You saw him argue a couple of calls, Bonte.
And he's chilled out for the most part. I thought when Steve Kerr took him out, what was that? Was that in the second quarter, I believe? Second quarter or third quarter when he took out DeMarcus Cousins. Can't recall, but he walked straight to the locker room.
Yeah.
And I was like, is Boogie just huffing and puffing because he's not playing? And that's what I'm waiting for, because there's going to be a close game where Steve Kerr is going to have to make the tough decision. Do I stick with Andre Iguodala? Do I stick with Kevon Looney? Or do I play DeMarcus Cousins to finish the game? Finishing game lineups. DeMarcus Cousins, if there's a close game, how will he respond to that? We still got to see how he'll respond to something like that if he gets benched in the closing moments of a tight game.
What did you make of the Draymond yelling at Boogie and Boogie yelling back at Draymond the other night? Did you take away anything from that?
Not really, because you know what's going to happen between those two. Come on, two volatile personalities. Draymond's always barking.
Always.
You saw him yesterday barking.
He almost got a T, and he should have got a T. I'm at the point now where I'm like, Draymond, can you just pick and choose your spots?
Don't want to get Philadelphia in the fourth quarter with about 4 minutes of some change left.
Unnecessary.
Close game. It's like, Draymond, this is the wrong time for a technical foul. You got to cool it. And Joe Lacob's sitting there at courtside, putting his face in his palm, thinking, what the hell is going on out here in front of me? Cool out. But I didn't take anything of it. Did you take anything away from it?
No. It was just the first spat of many, I think. And I think he reminds me, Draymond reminds me so much of one of my family members, where the way we play sports, we'll scream and yell at each other at certain guys that I know can handle it.
Right.
Right. And then they'll give it back to you. And then it's like, oh, we're good to go. We're just getting ourselves into the game, you know,
right,
like psyching ourselves out. I know there's other people like Clay where their demeanor is like, don't talk to me. I'm just going to do my thing. I'm not going to bark at anyone. Everybody's a little different in how they get fired up or motivated. Here's where I think, like you said, it can carry over when they lose a game. When it's because someone took the wrong shot, made the wrong pass, didn't do something that everyone else thought was the right play, and they lose, I think that's where it's going to start to show some warts. But winning cures all at this point, and it's really difficult to take any other stronger stance than that.
Now I want to talk about Kevin Durant, because it's amazing how good of a player Kevin Durant is. And he could be overshadowed on certain nights. Like last night, we're going to walk out of Oracle Arena, or this morning we're bringing him up, and you would never know that he had 21 points and 11 assists and 5 rebounds. He was the most efficient player on that basketball floor last night. He was everywhere, passing, dishing, playing defense.
Early passing, too, in the first quarter.
What you like from Kevin Durant, because the three-point ball hasn't been falling as of late. We know about the 1-for-8 night against Philadelphia last night, 0-for-2. But Kevin Durant understands that. When his three ball is not working, he'll adjust. Okay, let me go to the mid-range. Let me drive. Let me hit my fadeaway. But a lot of people are fixated on Kevin Durant's body language, like myself. I'm a big body language guy for some reason. When you see guys on the court and the way they react to other players scoring, or when they're not involved in the offense. For example, when Steph Curry is cooking like he did last night in the fourth quarter, Kevin Durant kind of just goes into the corner. It just takes himself out of the play. You're Kevin Durant.
Can I ask you a question, though?
What's up?
How would you compare that to years past when a comparable situation presents itself?
You know, this year, Butcher Boy, it's tough to compare that to anything, because I think this is all new for us here at Golden State, with them winning championships, with having a star player. And look, Steph Curry blossomed into a star here, but to be able to attract a star player like Kevin Durant and take him away from Oklahoma City and bring him to Golden State, and now you hear all the noise, the New York Knicks noise. Where's Kevin Durant going to go? When he came out with that statement before the season, I'm keeping all my options open. Instead of saying, you know what, if we win, I'm coming back. Because how do you walk away from a three-peat? So I don't know if I could compare it to any situation right now, right off the top of my head. But what I see from Kevin Durant is that the noise is getting to him. And look, he's tired of asking the questions. I get it. Everybody's fixated on what's going to happen in July, and not what's happening in the regular season. But when you see it over and over, and you see his demeanor, and you see the way the Knicks just open up two back slots, it's tough to. You look at Kevin Durant, you just wonder where his mind is at.
I think that's fair, but I also think, B, that when you take a step back, what answer was going to appease the entire crowd? The only answer that would have appeased everyone and got everyone off the back is him saying, yeah, I just signed a 2 or 3 year extension.
Right.
That's the only way to kind of get everyone, no matter what answer he provides, hey, if we win, I'm coming back. If we don't, I'm not. That's only going to amp up the pressure, right? So
right. He's
kind of a victim of anything he says. And I don't think that there was a statement that he could have made prior to this year or during the year that was going to appease all of the wolves coming for answers.
Now, I hear you there, and the national media is all over it as well. Once he said that, then all of a sudden you let the dogs mm-hmm. out, and everybody's going to be barking down KD's row like, oh, is he going to leave? Is he going to leave? Anthony Slater from The Athletic, he knows Kevin Durant well, covered him in Oklahoma City. Now out here in the Bay Area doing a great job covering Warriors basketball. He joins us here on 95.7 The Game. Anthony, what is happening, man? Happy Super Bowl Sunday, brother.
Thanks, fellas. Same to you.
Absolutely. We'll get your Super Bowl prediction before we let you off the hook here. But last night, a very weird game at Oracle Arena, and it started with the announcement that LeBron James wasn't going to play due to load management. And at times, it had a preseason vibe to the game, but that change was the boogeyman baptized Kyle Kuzma midway through the third quarter.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's rare you get a turning point like that. Basketball is just such a flowing game. And, you know, there'll be big Curry shots or there'll be runs. But the arena was asleep and kind of murmuring. And it kind of felt a little bit like Christmas. Remember when those, like, young Lakers after LeBron left, yep. like, blowing the Warriors out? It kind of felt like that to me. But, yeah, then the dunk, everyone gets away. Curry gets the shot going at one point. I think it was 42-19 after that dunk. So, yeah, that obviously changed things.
Anthony, in your piece in The Athletic, I always read your five pieces after every game. You brought up the offseason chatter, not just for Durant, LeBron, Klay Thompson as well. I'm just curious, what actual impact do you think all of this chatter has on the morale, and is it bleeding over onto the court?
Well, I mean, look, we already saw it blow up the team kind of for a month once when Draymond Green, who wasn't happy with just how everything was being handled down in L.A., KD was like kind of chumming it up a little bit with Steve Ballmer before that Clippers game. And obviously everyone remembers Draymond kind of blowing up. It's just lingered over the fringes of this team all year. And we talk about it a ton and they have to face questions a ton. And, and I think the Warriors is just kind of, they're in a place where they feel like they've given KD everything he could have asked for, you know, two titles, two finals MVPs, a pretty chill work environment. And he obviously has not committed or embraced them at all. You know, he's signed 3 one-year deals now, and I think there's some frustration within that. And, I think that's what's at the surface of all of this. And then, there's nothing really – look, if KD's, like, really wanting to potentially leave, there's not a lot he can do, but it's just the situation he's created himself. So you can't necessarily feel too bad for him because, the reality is, yes, players can – be empowered, players can take control, but like you're seeing with Anthony Davis in New Orleans, you can try to push for what you want, but that affects the players around you. It's got to affect what's going on around the Pelicans right now.
Anthony Slater from The Athletic here on 95.7 The Game. And Anthony, I think we talked the other night with Kevin Durant, and you look at his body language that time. I noticed there was a couple plays yesterday where Kevin Durant kind of just, I don't know if he sulked and went to the corner, but there's times where it looks like Kevin Durant is just not engaged with the game, especially when Steph Curry is going off. And then Kevin Durant not talking to the media the last two nights, obviously not wanting to answer questions about the New York Knicks situation. Do you think Kevin Durant knows what he wants to do come this offseason?
I think if he made the decision today, it would not be a good thing for the Warriors. He's not making it today. He's making it in July, and it'll be after a playoff run, potentially a very good playoff run for the Warriors. I don't know how he's going to feel on July 1st. But he's not in a good mood. Yes, and you know, it's been maybe highlighted the last 4 days or so because of this Knicks stuff and the fact that he's like not talking to the media, which is very rare for him. But he hasn't been in a very good mood for about a month. You know, road shoot around, so just kind of sit off to the side by himself when it's open to reporters. Hood is kind of on, and he's being kind of seclusive, and you know, it's just he just doesn't. I mean, the reality, he just hasn't been in a good mood. I don't know why. He's playing very well. You know, last night he went 8-13 and had 11 assists. That's efficient. That's ball distribution. He's played pretty good defense, you know, maybe not the last couple games, but pretty much for the month, I think he shot over 50%. Like, he's playing great basketball. He just doesn't seem to be enjoying playing great basketball.
Why is that? They just ran off 11 games in a row, undefeated, yeah. Road trip 5-0. That is really weird, Anthony, that you could be in a bad mood when it seems like the morale of the team is at an all-time high this season.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, he's been kind of curious the last few years and everything about him. It's tough to guess why. I mean, I don't think he's happy with, you know, he's always wanted to talk about why can't we just keep our focus on, you know, the game of basketball? Why does it have to be about the drama, whether it's, you know, his relationships with Westbrook or Draymond or, you know, the transactional obsession we have of future free agency, and we don't talk about the present. We don't talk about what's actually going on the court. So, I mean, maybe he slipped even deeper into this mood because of everything, all the chatter around the Knicks and the fact the trade deadline's coming up. So everyone's, you know, talking about that. And maybe, you know, he just doesn't want to necessarily chat about that. But, you know, I think it's a bit deeper than that. But it's tough to put your finger on exactly why. It's just the reality of what you see every day when you walk in and you're around this team. And, you know, it's clear to everyone, not just reporters, to his teammates, to coaches. I mean, the guy's just not in a very good mood. He doesn't seem to be too pumped about what's going on.
Anthony Slater with us from The Athletic. You know, Anthony, I'm sure that you have a lot of contacts and a lot of people you gossip with. You've been on the beat for quite some time. And Bonte and I were just kicking around why LeBron really missed this game. Do you think it was face value? He really was sore? Was it gamesmanship? Was this because of the Luke Walton situation that bubbled up about an hour after the game? What do you think is the reason why LeBron James missed this game?
You know, I think, you know, I'm not around them enough, and I don't know him well enough to, like, you know, pinpoint for sure what's going on. I kind of think he figured they were going to lose regardless of if he played or not. I mean, I think they were 11-point dogs before he even sat, and then that turned into 15. And he was probably maybe trying to save his body a little bit. You know, he is 34, and he is coming off a groin strain. And, apparently, you know, he played 40 minutes because they went to OT the game before. And maybe he was figuring, why go out here and expend myself for 35 minutes if it's going to be an L regardless. But, you know, if you want a conspiracy theorist, which you kind of were alluding to there, I mean, maybe he's kind of part of this team trying to push for Luke Walton's ouster. And, you know, maybe him not playing and them taking a loss helps that. And obviously, I don't know where those leaks from what happened in the locker room came last night, but it seemed pretty clear to you know, it was trying to create a message that, you know, there's some dissension towards the coach. It's all pretty interesting, but again, I cover the Warriors, so I don't, you know, I can't say for sure exactly what's going on there.
All right, I'll just come out and say it. LeBron's a coach killer. Anthony Slater with The Athletic joins us here. I'm more interested in Andre Iguodala's resurgence. I mean, he's just been absolutely phenomenal over this win streak that they've had. I know they've lost one in there, 12 out of the last 13. But why has he had more spring in his step? Why has he been more of a slasher, and he's been more of a facilitator, and he's just been incredible on both ends? Is there something that he's been doing away from the court to get himself into better shape, or is it just the luck of not being injured?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it's just he hasn't had, like, a tweak. You know, he has his maybe tired moments. The NBA has a more spread-out schedule now because, you remember, they added a week last season.
Yep.
I think that's really helped. I mean, the Warriors haven't played a back-to-back in a while. They just went on a five-game road trip, but it had two off days between, you know, remember, they played Friday, had Saturday, Sunday off, played Monday. Then they had Tuesday, Wednesday off, played Thursday in D.C., like, there's a lot of that in the schedule, and that helps a guy like Iguodala. And Livingston was very good on that road trip, too. So I think it's some of that. And I don't know, part of me thinks he kind of feels like they need it. He talked a little bit about it last night, about how he has to see times they need him to turn on the gas pedal. Last night was one. Yes, the Cousins dunk changed the game, but also just Iguodala playing well was, like, such a big factor and the reason why they were even in the game. And, you know, his shot looks better this year. I don't know why that is. Maybe, You know, he had that knee injury in the playoffs last year, but he came back healthy. Maybe he's got more lift on it, but, you know, he's in, I think, like the high 30s now, you know, maybe like 37, 38% from three this year, which is, you know, I think he was like 25% last year. That's a huge change. So, you know, some of it might be luck. Some of it's just he's, for whatever reason, feeling a little bit better, his body this year.
Yeah, definitely looking a lot more springier here. Andre Iguodala plus 23 in the plus minus department, 17 points last night. Anthony, we'll get you out of here with this. I'll get your prediction for the Super Bowl in just a second here, but Klay Thompson not participating in a 3-point shootout out in Charlotte for the NBA All-Star game. Why is that? Does he just not want to do that? I thought it would be kind of cool to battle Steph for the third time and Seth Curry as well. Why is Steph Curry not participating in a 3-point shootout?
You know, Klay, remember he did it last year in his hometown of LA, and I remember him talking last year, like, this is probably the last one I'll do. And Steph didn't do it in LA last year, so maybe he's getting Steph back for that. But I kind of think these guys are done doing that contest if they don't have, like, a special reason to do it. A lot of more veterans, you know, maybe Steph will do it later in his career, but I could see Steph doing it in Charlotte and then skipping the next few years. They just want their Saturday night off. KD's done this the last like 4 or 5 years. He doesn't even go to the events, doesn't go to the slam dunk contest, doesn't participate. They just take Saturday night off in whatever city they're in and go have a good time, whatever they want to do. I remember Klay Thompson last year had like an Airbnb, like mansion with like 12, you know, 14 of his friends. And he was kind of.
Are they Instagram models?
Yeah. Maybe. You know, he's not one to really put pictures of whatever he's doing out on Instagram, so I don't know too much. But I just remember him finishing the three-point contest, sprinting over to the, you know, his media, you know, obligations, being like, come on, let's go. Let's go ask me some questions so he could get out and go back to his Airbnb. So a lot of these guys just don't want to be there on Saturday night.
All right, Super Bowl prediction, Super Bowl 53, Rams-Patriots, 3:30 kickoff. Who you got, Anthony?
Man, I'll probably, if I had to predict, I'd take Patriots just because, you know, why wouldn't you take the Patriots at this point? I hope the Rams, and I really wish it was Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. I'm kind of still reeling a little bit off that AFC title game. I want to see some new blood.
Bigger question, more important question. What do you have to have at your Super Bowl party food-wise? What is the main go-to dish for Anthony Slater of The Athletic?
Jeez, I think I'm actually going to go to a bar today to watch the game. And at the bar I'm going to, they have one of those Impossible Burgers.
You know, yeah.
I don't eat red meat. So those are pretty good. So I don't know. I mean, it's not a – maybe it's a very millennial option at where I'm going or what I want at my thing. But, you know, a burger that's not actually meat.
You don't eat red meat? You've lost so much credibility in my eyes, bro.
That's actually a good thing, man. That's why you look so healthy. He doesn't look like me.
We've been eating meat for thousands of years as a society. He'll be okay.
Not everyone, man.
The ones who live and evolve do. No, I'm just teasing, Anthony.
Anthony Slater, man, we'll see you Wednesday
Happy
at Oracle
Sunday.
Arena for the Warriors and Spurs. Definitely a crazy time here for the Golden State Warriors here in the Bay Area with all the noise outside of the basketball world. Anthony, enjoy Super Bowl 53, man.
All right, fellas. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Anthony Slater from The Athletic here. We'll recap what he had to say in just a second. We'll open up the phone lines. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. I'm going to throw this out to the audience before we talk some football here.
Who doesn't eat red meat?
Who doesn't eat red meat, number one. Number two, what kind of food do you want? Do you need to have at your Super Bowl
What's
party?
What's your go-to?
Is it wings? Yep. Is it nachos? Is it pizza?
Seven-layer dip.
Seven-layer dip, I think, is a go-to. Man. Yeah. Seven-layer dip
Especially
is dangerous.
Especially the first two layers, cheese and sour cream.
It is dangerous, and it's not good for your bathroom. So we'll talk about that. 888-957-9570. What is your go-to dish for Super Bowl 53? And I got to ask them about the Warriors. Are you concerned about this noise off the basketball court? Are you concerned about Kevin Durant and a New York Knicks connection? Are you concerned about Klay Thompson possibly leaving? 888-957-9570. It's the Butcher Boy and Bonte right here on 95.7 The Game. No LeBron, no Bonte.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to 95.7. Joe Shasky, the Butcher Boy, Bonte Hill here on a Sunday morning. We're just talking Warriors. We're reacting to Anthony Slater and what he had to say about Kevin Durant in just a second. Butcher Boy, you got something you want to say?
Well, there's no... What was that? Give me that drop one more time.
LeBron James.
No LeBron, no Bonte.
LeBron James.
I love that. No LeBron, no Bonte. That should be the on your headstone one day.
That is terrible.
I love that.
How,
no LeBron, no Bonte.
How selfish of me. As soon as I got the alert that LeBron James was sitting out due to load management, which I've never heard anything like it. Load management, okay.
Well, now you're spoiled. You are
now spoiled.
Clearly one of the spoiled fans. No LeBron, no Bonte.
I basically say, yeah, I'm not going.
How about when I was looking at season tickets, just the schedule as a whole, I was circling all the LeBron Laker games, and I was looking for tickets. My niece wanted to go to the games. I mean, they were like $280, $380, all the way up in the nosebleeds. Nosebleeds.
How bad? How bad do you feel if you spent $300 for tickets and you get the alert that LeBron James is not even playing?
It's crazy. Michael Jordan missed 7 games from like 86 through 97 or something like that. Like 7 total games after he, stopped being injured, because he missed an entire season because of injury, essentially. I think maybe it was 88 to 97. Anyway, regardless, this guy has missed 17 games. He's logged more minutes than anyone in the history of the game, essentially, when it comes to the playoffs and the regular season at this age. At some point, he's going to fall off the cliff like Peyton Manning did.
No doubt. No doubt. I mean, he's it's kind of crazy how durable he's been during his career. No major injuries. This has basically been the injury that's kept him out the longest here. You brought it up earlier in the show, Butcher Boy, where he went to Cleveland the second time around in 2014, 2015, and they were kind of struggling. They had Dion Waiters. Remember, they shipped him off for J.R. Smith in that wild deal. And he went down to Miami for 2 weeks. He went to Miami. Didn't even sit with his teammates. Didn't stick around with the Cavaliers. Went to Miami. Hung around Dwayne Wade and just basically have fun for 2 weeks. And it said, okay, I'm going to come back. And it has some of that type of feel this time around with the Lakers. I felt like with the groin injury, look, they're tricky. You never want to rush anybody back when they have a groin injury. However, to just come back Thursday night against the Clippers, playing overtime, and then come up Saturday night and say, you know what? Load management, it's too much on my load. When all the rumors are going on with Anthony Davis and who's going to get shipped out of the L.A. Lakers. Heated locker rooms, altercations. Does he like the coach? Does he want to kill the coach? Does he want his own guy in there like Ty Lue? It's just the LeBron James diva act. Look, he's a phenomenal basketball player, one of my favorite players on the court.
Yeah.
Off the court, I just can't take it anymore.
He's an egomaniac, Bonte. He's an egomaniac. He's a terrible GM. Everywhere he goes, he has to get his guys paid, and it ends up crushing the financial situations for all those teams. Look at this year. They're trying to hawk Rajon Rondo back onto New Orleans.
That's cold.
It's ridiculous.
That's cold-blooded.
It
cold-blooded.
Is.
Cold-blooded.
He's the one that wanted to come to this team. And people on this station said that I was crazy, but I said it all last year. If LeBron wanted to extend his career, if LeBron wanted to add to his legacy, the place to go wasn't the Lakers. That's the place to go if you want to make money. If you want to win on the court and sustain and extend your career, it was coming to the Warriors.
Yep.
And I keep hearing these comments from Boogie Cousins. I've never had no double teams. I've never seen this many open bodies. I've never seen so many open lanes to the hoop.
Well, there's 5 All-Stars on the court.
But that's my point. And you're looking at the wear and tear of LeBron James, and I think there's a lot of similarities between Tom Brady and LeBron James as far as their longevity and their excellence and their nutrition away from the game, and the fact that they've avoided major injury for the most part. So on a day where we're celebrating the 9 Super Bowls for Tom Brady, I look at LeBron James and I'm going, is this just a blip in the radar and he's going to be good to go? Or is this the first of many nagging injuries that's going to totally change how he plays the game moving forward?
No, I hear you. And at some point, he's got to slow down, right? I mean, the guy's still averaging 27-8-7.
I mean,
as a 34-year-old, I don't know if he's going to break down, because we haven't seen the nagging injuries with LeBron James yet. Maybe that time is coming. But to me, it just seems like he's sitting out and he's waiting for the big deal to happen, because he doesn't feel confident. He doesn't trust these young guys. Maybe he's irritated or whatnot.
Didn't he know what he signed up for?
Oh, exactly.
Didn't he realize this?
Now, I want to talk about something Anthony Slater said. Forget LeBron James for a second. Anthony Slater on Kevin Durant. To see him sulking on a road trip in which the Warriors go 5-0. He just had an 11-game winning streak. DeMarcus Cousins returns. Seems like Kevin Durant and Draymond Green are getting along. The vibe is at an all-time high for this season. They're cooking teams. They're playing defense.
Everybody's happy except Kevin Durant. What the hell is he depressed about? If you're Kevin Durant, look, I get it. You're Kevin Durant. Everybody's hawking you for autographs. You can't go anywhere without security. But how could Kevin Durant, playing on a two-time or a championship team that's won three titles in 4 years, are gunning for a three-peat? You're playing at a hell of, you're third leading scorer in the NBA. You're playing at an all-time high level. You're Mr. Efficient. How the hell can Kevin Durant be depressed on this team?
We all know people in our normal lives who are just miserable. Just miserable people that nothing satisfies them, nothing makes them feel fulfilled.
I don't get it.
But that's who he is. I mean, I've come to the realization I'm done trying to psychoanalyze Kevin Durant.
Right.
I'm at the point now where it's like I'm just enjoying what he does on the court, and all this other stuff I'm just going to ignore until the end of the season, and then we'll find out if he's going to stay or go. And this thing that like, oh, he's going to go to the Knicks. They've got two max spots. You know what, Kevin? If you go to the Knicks, wake up, because they're the most dysfunctional organization in all of sports. And you could go there and have all the best intentions, like LeBron going to the Lakers. And if you don't have all the right pieces in place, GM, head coach, roster, just organizational stability, good luck trying to succeed. Good luck trying to find happiness. The grass is not always greener.
In that market, too.
Absolutely.
Where, you know, Kevin Durant always talks about, and I like talking to Kevin Durant before games and after games. I think he's a really cool dude, really down to earth with a great sense of humor. But if you think you're just going to be able to get away with, I just want to talk basketball here in New York City, you're wrong. You are wrong. They will eat you alive and be on top of you 24/7, 365 days a year. And you mentioned the dysfunction of the New York Knicks. Now, I do like Scott Perry as a GM, Mr. Mills there on his right-hand side. I like Fizdale as the head coach. I do think the Knicks are starting to figure things out. But unless you get rid of Mr. Dolan as the owner, it's still going to have vibes of dysfunction. They haven't won a title since 73. They haven't drafted well.
They don't even make the playoffs.
I mean, we're old enough to know the Knicks were a powerhouse in the 90s where they were close.
Because of my boy Latrell Sprewell?
No. I'm talking Patrick Ewing,
I know,
Charles
but my
Oakley.
Boy got them to the finals.
He did. Him and Allen Houston and LJ with the four-point play.
Yep.
The Phantom four-point play. Marcus Camby when they got smoked by the Spurs in the NBA Finals, no doubt. But they don't draft well.
No. They don't develop.
Their free agent signings have been an absolute bust. And so if you want to go to New York City and, say, play with Kyrie Irving, Kyrie Irving is special. He's one of the two guys I fear as a Warrior fan.
Mm-hmm.
When Kyrie Irving has a ball in his heads, I'm thinking, man, like, this guy's going to do something insane. He plays horse out there. But he's had major injuries, knee surgeries. He's not exactly durable. So do you want to hitch your wagon onto a guy like Kyrie Irving, who, yes, is special, but you don't know if he can make it through a basketball season? I don't know if that's the best move for Kevin Durant.
I just be careful what you wish for. Look in the NBA. Look at over the last few years, guys that have begged to go to a specific location. Carmelo begging to go to the Knicks. How'd that work out for him? Chris Paul begging to get out of New Orleans. Has it been this like dramatic success when he went to the Clippers?
Nope.
I mean, has it?
They didn't make the Western Conference Final.
Him begging out of LA and going to Houston. Has that been successful? Not really. Kawhi Leonard. Now, we will see how it finalizes, but it's not like it's been, you know, all roses for him. He hasn't signed an extension. He's not in the location he wanted to be in. Dwight Howard. Did it work out for Dwight Howard trying to get out of Orlando?
Nope.
It's been awful at every turn.
It's been awful since Orlando for
Absolutely.
Dwight Howard.
And these are just some of the guys that have been begging to get out of their current situations. Kyrie Irving. If we really took a step back, him leaving LeBron, has it been that great for him?
Nope.
I don't think so either.
And you left a team that was contending for championships. You just made the NBA Finals. You're saying, you know what? I'm unhappy here. Now I get why he wanted out of Cleveland. You look at the crystal ball. You look inside the crystal ball.
Totally get it.
And you're thinking, okay, LeBron James is holding this franchise hostage. He's going to leave. I'm not going to let him leave. And I get stuck with these pieces at Cleveland.
Like Cleveland. Like Kevin Love.
Like Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson and the rest of those bubs. By the way, there was a report this morning that the Warriors and Spurs are looking into Rodney Hood.
I would take Rodney
Hood too off the bench.
They need a little scoring off the bench. He's left-handed. He's a little unorthodox. I know he can be a knucklehead at times, but he's a solid player off the bench.
Bad. He's not bad at all.
And if you fit him in with McKinney as those 10, 11 guys off the bench, 9, 10, 11, that's pretty darn good. On McKinney, real quick, before I forget. Has that guy had more baseline dunks this year than anyone in the league? Like, he really is a poor man's Harrison Barnes in that he just does a little bit of everything above average, you know?
Yeah, his offensive rebounding
really good.
Has really surprised me. Really good. Gets those extra possessions.
Solid defender.
The three-point shot, though, it's got, like, this high. It, like, the ball leaves the shot. But when you're watching on TV, you're like, where did the ball go?
Yeah.
And then it just drops down to the hoop.
But he knows his spot on the court right. Where he's going from corner, baseline to corner.
Knows his
right?
role.
Yeah, and he just kind of runs the rim area from three-point corner to three-point corner. He's just solid. I like the way he defends. He's long. McKinney's been really good for this team. You add another Rodney Hood. For me, I've always said that shooting guard, backup scorer at the two spot, getting Clay a couple of minutes off here and there, that's where they really need some firepower. Quinn Cook has taken a big step back this year.
Quinn Cook.
That's your guy. I know.
The Philadelphia game, I'm looking at him and I'm watching him play and he's missing open shots. Because Quinn Cook, I've seen on at least five occasions after a game, he goes back out and he gets some shots up.
It's hard for him to get rhythm, though.
So it's like, I get it, but you're getting shots up after some of these games, and it's like, you get in there, and it's like he's timid.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant's right on the wing, so he's thinking, if I miss his shot, they're going to yell at me because Kevin Durant.
Well, they're going to yank you. They're going to yank you.
Take the shot. So defensively, you have to hide him. I don't know if he's an NBA player. I don't know.
He's your third backup point guard. I mean, he's your third guard point guard. He's a double backup, essentially. We're glossing over a guy who's not going to be playing a lot of important minutes late in the year. Kevon Looney's had a career year, though.
Kevon Looney's going to get paid. I was surprised he didn't get paid last offseason. I think this offseason, Kevon Looney's going to get a nice little contract. You have to, right? If in today's switch, with everybody switching on defense.
I thought he signed a two-year deal. Maybe I'm wrong.
It was a one-year deal.
Okay.
I was shocked that he came back. Because if you just take the Western Conference Finals, and you say, oh, wow, Kevon Looney can switch on the guards.
Mm-hmm.
He can stay in front of James Harden and Chris Paul. Man, we need a guy like that in today's NBA where everybody's running the pick and roll and trying to get the proper matchup on the switch. You got to think that Kevon Looney will get paid this offseason. I don't know what paid is for Kevon Looney, but you got to think this is it for him in a Warriors uniform.
Again, everybody just assumes you're going to go to the highest bidder. I actually think Looney was the smartest one of all of these guys, like McCaw and guys who had options to go other places.
To come back.
He realized, like, my best bet for my own NBA longevity as far as my profession, it isn't about chasing the dollar. It's about staying with this nucleus and being rewarded by other teams realizing, hey, I'm a good glue guy. Like, he really is. And he's had a great year. Defensively, he's been awesome.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1. KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. Joe Shasky, the Butcher Boy, and Bonta Hill here at 95.7 The Game, taking you up until 1 o'clock as we get you set for Super Bowl number 53 between the LA Rams and New England Patriots. Kickoff at 3:30. We're going to pound the Super Bowl and talk about the Super Bowl matchups. Araj Markazi from the LA Times is down in Atlanta. He'll join us at 10:30 to give us the vibe of the Super Bowl. And he's also tapped in with the LA Lakers locker room. So we'll get his thoughts on what happened last night after a game in that Lakers locker room and how this affects the Golden State Warriors, how some of these deals can affect the Golden State Warriors. Last thought on Kevon Looney. Butcher Boy, he's had the hip surgeries, and he lost a lot of weight to get in shape and get in the NBA basketball shape. You got to think at some point he's going to say, I need to cash in before another injury happens. Or I know players don't think like that. They don't think about injuries or whatnot, but you got to think that a guy like Looney who's had those hip surgeries, if he has one chance to cash in, he's got to take that chance to cash in and set himself up for the rest of his life.
When you say it out loud, yeah, common sense says, oh, you got to cash out and get as much as you can. But we don't know what motivates people. Money isn't always the main motivator for every single individual. I don't know what Kevon Looney's background is. I don't know. You know, I get it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.